Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it is News Chew time. Welcome back, everybody. Joining me, as always, is the incomparable and always dashing Benjamin Orr. Ben, what's going on, man?
Not much, Lou. Same old, how are you doing?
I am swimming in joy. I don't know why I said that. That's such an over-exaggeration. I did, however, Ben, enjoy some of the recordings we did this week for our anniversary special, which is coming soon.
Yes, I don't know if we let anybody know what's going on. It's going to be, I think we should keep it a surprise still.
Yeah, we will, but it involves, you know, I think we did talk about it last week, that it will involve multiple people. So it's a full-scale extravaganza. So we're very excited about it. We've got some excellent stuff for you in the coming weeks. And we should also announce, Ben just brought up to me before the show, and I think it's arguably some of your greatest work, Ben. Is that we're going to still record the News Chew every week, but we're going to air those or post those separately on Fridays. Chewing Dead, not the News Chew. I'm sorry, the Chewing Dead. I'm just so excited. There's so much happening today.
You're so excited, you just lose it. You know what will help you calm down, Lou?
What's that?
A porcupine cookie.
Porcupine cookies. Gluten-free, soy-free, basically all the crap your body doesn't need free. It's only the good stuff. With a little bit of powdered sugar on top, because, come on, what good are cookies without a little powdered sugar on top? Mine's in the mail. As soon as I eat it, I'm going to write, like, a 5,000-word essay about how great porcupine cookies are, because I feel that strongly about it.
MLA formatting and all your sites.
I haven't even tried them yet, and you know what? I don't need to. That's fine.
How many sources are you going to cite? Are you going to get scholarly sources?
No, I'm not going to cite shit. It's a real life testimony. I'm not saying
that is true, but yes, we will still be recording and posting the News Chew episodes on for Mondays, and we'll be having the Chewing Dead on Fridays, so you can look forward to that. And you know, we'll be talking about the previous week's episode and what we think is going to happen in the next week. So, please look forward to it. Our first one will be this coming Friday, which will be nice.
So that'll be good after we watch the episode, which will air tonight, since we of course always record on Sundays. I already watched the first 4 minutes of tonight's episode, and I already know that there is an end-of-credits scene that we all need to stay up for. So, two little tidbits for you, Ben. If you want to find out what I'm talking about, I won't spoil anything for you, but you can find it if you use the right channels. And by right channels, I mean Google.
Or, you know, blatantly on Facebook.
Right.
Blatantly
on Facebook is also acceptable. Anyways, I'm very excited. I cannot wait to watch it. The first 4 minutes are horrifying. I was genuinely and truly scared. I was very uncomfortable. Strap in, everybody. I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be a fun season of death and guns. Anyways, Ben, enough about that. Yesterday, I took a pilgrimage to a wonderful place, Ben. It's called Three Floyds Brewery. The reason that I bring it up is because they make just awesome beer. And it's about halfway. How far is Indianapolis from you, Ben?
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm, like, in the county right next to Pennsylvania, if that tells you anything.
Okay, so it'd be a drive. So never mind. I was thinking it would be a nice maybe midway point for us to meet from time to time. Because it's in Indiana, this brewery, but it doesn't feel like a very long drive. Because I drove down yesterday with some friends, and we went and we ate at this place, and the food was awesome. Ben, if anyone ever offers you pork belly, eat the pork belly.
Is it like pulled pork?
No, it's very different, but it's awesome. Just trust Lou and eat the pork belly. It'll change your life.
To answer your question, Indianapolis is 5 hours and 17 minutes away from me, which is about 339 miles.
Holy shit. All right. So it's not really a middle spot. Three Floyds, because great food, and I have to tell you, it's just the best fucking beer on earth. Just awesome. So I did that yesterday, and that was really nice. And then today is Walter's birthday. Ben, you, of course, know Walter. You're associates. Walter is my dog. He's my Cairn Terrier. He is essentially a cat trapped in a dog's body. He also reminds me of a crotchety old man. He's not like a terrier at all, except for the barking. He does love to bark.
If Walter had a voice, what would he sound like?
You know what? Ashley and I have tried to pinpoint this before in the past, and I think the best we've come up with is Tim Curry. Do you know who Tim Curry is?
No.
Ben, God damn it. Look up Tim Curry. You might recognize his face and just not know his name. For God's sakes, Benjamin. Tim Curry he's the clown in It. He's in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. He's in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. He's in the classic movie Congo. He was on Spamalot when that was on Broadway. Anyways, I could go on forever about Tim Curry. Shame on you for not knowing who Tim Curry is, Ben. He's one of the greatest actors of our time.
I can just feel the disappointment seeping.
It's pretty bad. It's very deep-seated right now, if that tells you anything. The seat is
Well, you shouldn't be surprised anymore. You really shouldn't.
Yeah, but Tim Curry, I thought, was like... I feel like Tim Curry's kind of someone that everyone knows.
Yeah, I never heard of the guy.
Never heard of the guy. Well, that's what Wally sounds like, so sucks to be you, Ben. Since you don't know who he is, that reference means nothing, and you'll never know what Wally sounds like.
Unless I look up Tim Curry clips on YouTube, I don't know.
No, you're not going to. I know you. You won't do it. You don't have the balls, Ben, to watch Tim Curry videos.
That sounds like a threat.
It's not a threat. That's me just calling you out. I'm just calling you out,
yeah,
Ben.
Yeah, you're not threatening me. You're not threatening me yet.
Well, if I wanted to threaten you, I would threaten you. I don't know exactly, because I don't really do threats. I just do fear and cowardice through shouting.
Is that how you get your points across?
Yeah, typically. Have you never listened to our show? Do you just participate and never listen back? I suck at this game. Well, anyways, since you don't really like beer, the pilgrimage also may have been, you know, not worth it for you. But to those of you listening, if you can ever go to Three Floyds Brewery, I cannot recommend it highly enough. Everything about it was... just awesome.
So, Lou, I was driving again this week.
Good for you. Oh, but this is going somewhere. Okay, go on.
Yes. And I saw this license plate that I just thought was really weird. I'm actually kind of surprised that they would allow a license plate like this. But the license plate, it said sexy, but it wasn't with a Y. It was with an IE. Just thought that was a really odd license plate to see. I was just driving, and I just happened to look over and see that, and it was kind of weird.
Okay, so let's sort of break that down. I imagine that sexy with a Y was taken, because I imagine all the sexy bitches in Ohio were like, I gotta get me a license plate to say sexy. And then somebody got it, and then somebody was like, well, I'm gonna do it with an I, so that one was taken. And then they were like, well, I'll just do sexy too. But that one was already taken. So they were stuck with sexy, the IE.
The point is, how self-conceited do you have to be to get a license plate that says that?
Well, Ben, I mean, some people are into that. You know, like mostly people who suck.
I thought about it for a second and I'm like, well, that's interesting. I've never seen that before. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, wow, what a self-conceited person. Like, really? I mean, I could see, like, if it said, you know, like, I don't know, b-ball fan, or, like, music lover, or fish guy. I don't know. Like, that would be their hobbies. But to have an adjective that describes them, in their own mind at least, is kind of hilarious to me.
Well, I mean, I think the vanity plates in general are just dumb. Like, you spend extra money just so that you can exclaim something to the world. If I could pay extra money to exclaim something to, like, other drivers and other cars, it would be the left lane is for passing, and that won't fit on a license plate. If they would give me one that said that, I would pay extra, and I would do it every year, and I would do it with a smile on my face. I would be like, thank you. And then I would cut people off when they're driving slow in the left lane, and I would just... And I would just tap my brakes a little and be like, read the license plate.
Mine would probably be, I'm already going 10 over the speed limit in the right lane. What more do you want?
Well, Benjamin, the left lane is for passing. Just because you're going fast doesn't mean you belong there.
No, I said the right lane.
Oh,
I'm in the
right
lane.
Yeah, the right
I'm
lane.
I'm in the right lane.
The
then
right
that
lane,
happens.
If you're going 10 miles over in the right lane and somebody's honking at you, that person can literally sodomize themselves with
Yeah,
with
that's a what pitch. I'm saying. It happens to me almost every day.
Like, you can go fork yourself. Yeah, that's horseshit. But if you're in the left lane and you're only going 10 over, but you're not passing anybody, you need to not be, you know, you need to not be there. You need to be in the middle lane. That's a safe place. I like the middle lane. I prefer the middle lane.
Sadly, a lot of the highways, at least how I get to college, they don't have freeways. It's just two. So... It's not really fun, because my one exit to get off, I have to get into the left lane and take a ramp that way, and that is a hell of a time, especially during rush hour, because sometimes I do get home at 5.
Ben, I'm curious what you think rush hour is. Just
like,
having lived
like
in Seattle and now near Chicago, I'm curious as to what you believe traffic to be. Like,
I know it's not
10 minutes to your commute? 15 minutes?
No, I know it's not like big city scale, and I understand that, but it's still a lot more congested than it is in the other part of the day.
I'm just asking, like, so I genuinely can know. True. I mean, I was trying to say you're being ridiculous a little. However, I am also curious, like, what constitutes traffic where you live? How long does it usually take you to get to college?
Like, 25, 30 minutes.
Okay, so if traffic is bad, how long would it take you?
To get home, probably 35 to 45.
Okay, so, I mean, 5 to 10 minutes.
That's a fair pickup.
I have that from work also, because my work is about 52 minutes to an hour away. So, I mean, that counts as traffic. I would constitute that. That's a pretty heavy adjustment.
Yeah, because there's sometimes I can, you know, leave campus at 1... And then there's some days I leave campus at, you know, 5. So there's an obvious difference in the traffic
on
the highway.
And you know, for the listeners, you don't live in Cincinnati or Cleveland either. I mean, you live, so to have your commute adjusted 5 to 10 minutes just in, you know, your not very large town, I think that's significant. So, all right, Ben. Your traffic stands.
I win
stands.
This round.
Yep, your traffic stands.
And you know what also stood, Lou?
Please tell me, Ben.
Our first story.
Wow. You know what, Ben? I'm really proud of you. That was a great segue. You deserve... Here, you know what? I'm raising my glass to you. Good for you. That was beautiful. Go on.
So, our first story comes from, surprise, surprise, Florida. Were you surprised, Lou? I wasn't surprised.
No.
So, title reads, Florida man wears fuck the police shirt to court and wins the case. Michael Burns was ticketed by the Broward County Sheriff's Office for having his license plate obstructed, which is, I also guess, ties in with the license plates as well that we were talking about. He was given a ticket by the same cop who he had an encounter with earlier that night. He wrote that the recording was recording cops kicking people from the side of a highway when he was asked by the officer to leave. After leaving, the officer eventually followed him and pulled him over again. So they pulled him over for kick. He said, quote, I was pulled over by the same officer that kicked me off public property for filming. Six other cars pulled up, surrounded my car during the stop. So his response to that when he had to go to court was to wear a fuck the police t-shirt, you know, bring up his inner ice cube. And he won the case.
It should also be noted that the cop that he talked about was there. Like, he showed up to the court case. So he's wearing a fuck the police shirt, and the judge ruled in favor of him. Dude, I bet you this cop went back to the police house and, like, they made him wear, like, a tutu and, like what they do with Wei Cheng Wang, Wei Cheng Wang,
yeah, yeah.
Where he has to carry the little pink suitcase to the dugout, like how they haze rookies in baseball. I bet you that cop is going to have to go through whatever the police version of that is.
Well, he's not a rookie, so, I mean...
Yeah, but he also just got... He just got fucking schooled, son. He got served.
By Mr. Burns.
By Mr. Burns. It's pretty... I mean, you have to be pretty confident in your case to wear a fuck the police shirt.
I mean, I guess that cop's gonna need some ice.
Ben... Because that was a hip-hop reference and you killed our street cred with the RZA incident, I will allow it. But I'm not happy about this. You need to know that.
I mean, all the cop had to do was chill out, but, I mean...
Don't push it, mister. You are on thin ice. Oh, you see what I did there? I flipped it on you, Ben. Take that.
I guess I was just frozen.
That one was not very good. That was not your best work. After the zinger I just laid, Ben, that was weak sauce. You could have done better. I don't think you wanted to. I think you wanted me to win this.
It's all part of my elaborate plan.
Yeah, to build me up and then strike me down.
But good for this man for winning this case. I applaud you.
Nice job, Mike Burns. You the man, homie. You fought the law, and the law did not win.
No.
Take that, Songs of My Youth. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, here's the thing. Like, if I had a really good case, I would definitely walk in there with some swagger. You know what swagger is, right, Ben?
Like, confidence?
There it is. I would walk in there. I would be the cock of the walk. I would walk it with my pelvis thrust out. I'd be like, I got this shit in the bag. But I would certainly not go in there in a fuck the police shirt. Even if I was, like, 100% sure I was going to win the case. I just... You know what, Ben? My balls aren't that big. There, I said it. That audio clip may haunt me forever, but it's reality. My balls just are not that big.
So, Lou, we're going to do a little bit of an improv here.
Oh, God. All right.
I'm the guy walking in with a Fuck the Police t-shirt, sure. And you're the judge. What is your reaction to it?
I mean... All right, so just go with me on this. My dad is 62 or 63. Is he 63? I don't know. My dad is 62 or 63. I imagine that most judges nowadays are roughly my father's age or maybe a little bit younger. Not too much variance on that because I think most judges retire once they get to a certain age. If I walked in there wearing that and it was my dad who was the judge, or if it was just a stranger and it was my dad would probably love it. However, I feel like most men his age would not be cool with that. So if I put myself in the judge's position, I already assume that this jackass is guilty. But then, having already read about the case, I already know that he probably isn't guilty. And so therefore, I'm probably feeling some mixed emotions. Maybe a little hesitation to side with this young man so quickly because he obviously wants to defy the law, everything that I stand for as a judge. Have I gone on too long? Has this turned into a rant?
You're good.
anyways, I mean, he probably didn't like it, but again, judges usually know the case before they go in there, so I imagine that he maybe... couldn't laugh, but I bet he probably wanted to give a little chuckle. I'm sure a part of him was amused by it, is the short answer.
So he had a little bit of a grin going on?
I mean, no, because he can't show that. You can't smirk during your fucking trial.
Okay, well, at least when he was walking away, at least.
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure that part of him, when he first saw it and knew already kind of what he was going to rule, I'm sure that a part of him... lit up inside, because it's funny. But again, he also, at the same time, it's about having respect for, you know, for the law.
Even if you beat the law. Because unlike The Clash, he did fight the law and he won. Because I don't think that's The Clash's original song. I think it's somebody else's song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good for him. I mean, not a lot of people get to do what he just did.
Okay, yes, it is by Sonny Curtis of the Crickets. I just know the Clash version of that song. Okay, I had to make sure.
All right, yeah, we've already given way too much airtime to Sonny Bono and the Slapits or whatever you just said.
Sonny Curtis of the Crickets.
Right, Tony Curtis and the Lickets. I got it. So,
yes.
Anyway. Well, let's go from Men Riding High to Men Riding Dirty for story number two.
Oh.
Yeah, that one was a reach, but I think it came out okay. This story was sent to us by the sexiest radio voice in our universe, Kimberly McFerrin, who sent us a great story. Now, Ben, before we even get into this, can I just say that I'm glad that this didn't happen in America? Don't ask me why, because I don't want to answer it. I'm just glad that it didn't happen here. Just take that for what it's worth. The headline reads...
I will do that.
Bachelorette party ends with bride getting pregnant with dwarf stripper's baby. I'll spare you all of the specific details, but an Italian woman was set to get married, or I'm sorry, a Spanish woman, so in Spain, this is where this takes place, she had this raging bachelorette party the night before she was set to get married. And so after the bachelorette party was over, all of the brides and bridesmaids, they left, and they didn't think, you know, anything of it. They just thought, oh, cool, we got a dwarf stripper. How sweet is that? Well, about 9 months later, the woman has a baby, and they assume that she got pregnant on the honeymoon because the timing matches up. Unfortunately, after a round of tests on the baby, the doctor came back and said, well, I think you should know your baby has dwarfism. At which time, the woman had to divulge that she had, in fact, had a one-night stand with the dwarf stripper that her friends had hired for her bachelorette party. God bless España. I wanted to say God bless America, but it just wasn't meant to be, man.
This has Florida written all over it, but
sure
it's not.
It sure does. But you know what? Once again, other countries are just as bad as we are.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I don't know, hilarious that this happened, because, I mean, I don't know what goes on in these sort of things. I've never been to one, so I would have no idea that it went that far. I don't think typically they do.
You'd be surprised.
But I'm guessing she got her just desserts from it.
Gross, Ben. That was a semen joke.
Was it?
You don't know it, but it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that was
a spooge joke, Ben. If Don is listening, Don will take note and confirm to me later. Don, if you're listening, let me know if that was a semen joke or not. I'm pretty sure it was. Anyway, Ben, now that you're done being a complete and total pervert, I'm surprised you haven't made any midget jokes yet.
No, because that...
Oh, come on, Ben.
That's just mean. They can't help it.
Some of life's smallest delights, Ben, reside in the little things.
I'm tapping out for puns here. I'm not doing it.
Why not, Ben? What's the matter? Don't like how the other side lives?
No, I'm not saying that. I just want to be respectful.
Is it beneath you to make midget puns? Although, if you were a midget, everything would be beneath you, Ben. Wait, that doesn't work. Yep.
No?
Good save, Lou. Anyways, since Ben is too much of a coward to make midget jokes...
No, I'm not a coward. I respect them as human beings.
I respect them as human beings. That doesn't mean we can't laugh at each other's differences. You know what, Ben? If a dwarf wants to make fun of me for being one of the whitest people on planet Earth, I'm into it. It's fair game. I don't dish it if I can't take it back. Those are the rules.
Okay, I just want to make note that the guy who wrote this story is 6'10".
What, you mean like the writer who wrote out the story?
Yes.
How did you discover that?
It has a bottom part like about the author or whatever, and it says, standing at 6'10", he is required by Jedi law under the fee-fi-fo-fum.
So if this was a Maury Povich show, you could say to the author, you are not the father, because you're a giant. This child has dwarfism.
He's like three times the size of.
At least three times the size. Now, Ben.
Maybe my math is off there. I'm not sure.
This is something that you may not know, but this is something that I understand to be true. Dwarf males, although smaller in stature, they are still packing a standard issue wiener gun. So, you know, she drank a little too much. She probably did some Molly. And she fucked a dwarf. So what? It happens to the best of us. It's easy to be fooled.
By fucking dwarves?
By fucking dwarves. That has a double meaning when you say it like that. I mean, I feel bad for this lady. Like, that's a horrible way to tell your fiancé that you, like, yikes. It's a really awful way to find out, too, that you got impregnated by the fucking dwarf stripper. Yikes. Because I bet you she genuinely believed that it was from the honeymoon, but I bet you in the back of her mind that whole time that she was pregnant, she was like, please don't be the dwarf's baby. Please don't be the dwarf's baby. Please don't be the dwarf's baby.
Whoops.
Yep. Sometimes life's the little miracles.
I guess our hopes were short-lived.
Whoa. There you are. I knew you couldn't stay away. Yeah, this is a funny story. I love it. I've had a huge smile on my face since we started reading it. This is like the best kind of Schadenfreude. I don't know that woman, and I don't know that, you know, she's a bad person, but she made a really bad mistake, and this is kind of the funniest comeuppance that's imaginable. And if he was a stupid man, he would raise that baby as his own. That's just kind of my opinion. I'm sure that there are gentlemen who would be upstanding and raise that baby, but...
Yeah, that baby is probably not gonna.
No, and dad, you know, fun. And dad, you know, dad lives the nightlife. He likes to boogie.
So how do you think that marriage is going now?
I'm probably sure not. That they're getting divorced. Yeah, I would imagine that they're getting divorced. At least for me, like my wife and I have talked about it before. The doing stupid stuff and mismanaging money and all that crap, that shit's all forgivable and all, you know, all stuff you can work around. But the cheating is, that's a no-go.
Especially with a dwarf.
Yeah. I mean, my wife and I have agreed to each other that if that ever happens, we will just tell that person right away that's like a blood oath we took to each other. So, I think that that's one of those things where, yeah. If that guy was smart, he would have been like, well, I will just be getting this wedding annulled. Although, I don't know how that works in Spain. He probably says it in angry Spanish.
Is it like they have to, like, have the bullfights and whichever one lives?
No. They wouldn't do that to the lady folk. Spanish people love women. Did you not know that?
I don't know anything about Spain.
Oh, you should learn. Wonderful place. Anyway, you know, I feel bad for the guy because, you know, the lady that you love got impregnated by a dwarf and you were doing it to her after she did the dwarf. It's probably a pretty horrible feeling. But, you know, some guys, they can get over that stuff and look over that stuff. Unfortunately, I'm not really one of those. Like, I'm not mentally stable enough to overcome that. So, some dudes are. I'm not one, Ben.
I would not be one either. I'll admit that right now.
Yeah, the old dip in the pen and somebody else's ink, I am not on board for. Anyways, now that I've completely bummed everyone out, let's move on to a story that isn't about midgets fucking people. It's about...
Did you ever think you were going to use that segue?
No, but I was saving it for a special occasion, question mark?
Yes, I think we can roll with that.
Well, after that segue, I kind of wish I was dead, like our next story. That segue sucked.
It does, but let's just roll with
I'm
it.
I'm so bummed out now. I've bummed myself out. Man sues TSA for spilling his mother's ashes all over the inside of his bag. The premise of the story is very simple, but we're going to go to some horrible places, I'm sure. The man had his mother's ashes because he was taking a trip to Puerto Rico because that's where she wanted her ashes to be dispersed. And the TSA, when he got off the flight and went to check his bag, he had the TSA tag on it, which meant they went through his bag. When he opened it up, his mother had been spilled all over his bag. He's suing the TSA, and he should. You gotta be more respectful for that. He's suing them for $750,000, which seems like a lot, but I bet he'll get it. So good on you, sir. The reason I wanted to enjoy this story, Ben, is because I actually have a family story that pertains to this.
And well, before you go on, might we add that this guy is from Ohio?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's very important. yes, this gentleman is from Ben's home state. So one of Ben's fellow Ohioan, is that what you guys are?
Ohioans.
Ohioans? One of your yes. Ohioan brethren has left this earth, and their ashes have been dispersed at the bottom of an old Reebok bag. I'm sorry for your loss, Ben. No. So anyway, my uncle, when his father died, he wanted to be cremated, and then he just wanted to have his ashes sprinkled in like a lake somewhere. He wasn't very specific about it, just somewhere in a lake. My Uncle Bill is an enormous man. He's probably 6'7", and he probably weighs about 395. Huge guy. He was a college football player. He's this enormous dude, but he's also a master of disaster. Ben, do you know what I mean when I say master of disaster?
I do.
We're going to have the original master of disaster on this podcast at some point, my friend Charlie. He's the master of disaster. But my Uncle Bill is a pretty serious master of disaster. He's knocked bikes off the top of his car by going through a McDonald's drive-thru. He's lit himself on fire and not noticed. He's a masterpiece. Anyway, he got in a boat with my aunt and my cousin, and they're rowing out in this boat into the middle of this lake. And while they're rowing, my uncle kicks over his father's ashes and spills them all over the bottom of the boat.
I guess they kind of gave him a Viking funeral. No. Like a half-assed Viking funeral.
As close as you're ever going to get. I wish they'd let me have a Viking funeral. That's absolutely what I would have. I think it's awesome. Anyway, I've sidetracked terribly. This man, I understand him being upset with the TSA for dumping his mother's ashes all over the place. They should know better. But I also understand that if they find an urn in someone's bag, they're going to check it. I want them to check it. I do. I want them to check it. But I also want them to seal that shit up.
Yeah, because if you know what an urn looks like, and you check it and say, okay, well, we put the metal detector, there's nothing in there but ashes, make sure you don't, if you do unscrew it, which I do understand, make sure you screw that shit back on as tight as it was, because this will happen.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the part of this where TSA is really at fault, is that they weren't careful with something as precious as that. And that's why they'll end up having to pay. The government will just pay this, I imagine. I imagine this will get settled out of court. They'll just give them some money, and it'll be done. However, it doesn't change the fact that you dumped this poor dude's ashes. And then they were, like, scattering about during the flight. Like, when they landed, they, like, shot in the air and got all in his tennis shoes. So, like, in 2 weeks, he's going to be jogging, and puffs of his mother are going to be shooting out of his shoes. Like, you should pay for some hardship. That sucks.
And he never received any kind of response or apology from the TSA for the actions of
basically. He will now. It's been on our show, Ben, this is going to be big news pretty quickly. Because we're worldwide. Everyone will hear it, and they'll demand satisfaction. But you know what? In the end, maybe he can't get no.
So, oh, that was a reach.
Eat shit, Ben.
Speaking of worldwide, we only racked in one country this week.
What? That's yeah. it?
Besides the U.S., we got France. So
just one country, huh?
Yep. So France, thank you for tuning in this week.
Thanks, France.
Rest of the world, I'm pretty disappointed in you.
Rest of the world, I'm very let down. Well, anyways, if you're ever handling somebody's fucking ashes, please don't dump them out. Make sure that that lid is on tight. It doesn't take that much effort to make sure the lid is on tight. It really doesn't, I promise. It'll be easy.
And it's not like you just screw it once and oh, there, it's open. I'm sure that those things are pretty heavy duty with how they work.
Right. But again, I appreciate that they are going out of their way to check things that very well could have bombs or terrorist implications. So again, I want the TSA to check the urn, because I feel like that's a clever thing. You know, you'd be like, oh, well, they'll never be so disrespectful as to check the urn. But I mean, they are, and that's good. I want them to do that. That's them doing their job. But again, you gotta make sure that that lid is on tight. This is an avoidable tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's something as simple as tying your shoes or turning off the lights. Just turn the damn urn, make sure it's closed.
Ben, I'm pretty sure that in the sort of lexicon of things that are really easy to do, I'm pretty sure you're the first person that's ever lumped fasten the urn seal into that lexicon. I'm pretty sure you're the first who's ever ventured there.
Well, it would have happened if the TSA had just done their goddamn job.
Their job is to keep us safe from terrorists, like ISIS, and our fourth story.
That was actually a really good segue.
That is how you segue. Chapter 1, Kicking Ass. Now
available on Amazon.
Now available on Amazon. How to kick ass at Segways. Our next story. It's too good to be true, Ben. A one Lisa Carol Roche. Is that how you'd say that, Ben?
Roche?
She's trying to use her quest to stop the terrorist cell known as ISIS as a reason for breaking into cars at her child's school. She was caught breaking into them, and when the police asked her what she was doing, she told them she was looking for ISIS terrorists. She was stealing sunglasses and other random shit, probably for drugs, I'd imagine. She's a previous felon, Ben. I'm sure you won't be surprised to find out. For reckless driving, felony fraud, and felony embezzlement. But now she faces up to 5 years in prison and $10,000 for burglary. Ben, why are we fining a woman who has a multitude of face tattoos for keeping our children safe from ISIS? Where do we get off?
Well,
Did I mention the face tattoos?
Did you mention that this is in Mississippi?
Oh, actually, I don't think that I did. That's important to note. Mississippi is like the drunkard, more disgusting gene pool of Florida.
It's backwater Florida, essentially.
It's the part that Florida doesn't like to talk about.
It's the part that even Alabama is scared of. Alabama. I forget sometimes that Alabama is even a state. I kind of just lump the South together.
Now, don't be like that, Ben.
No, I'm being honest. I just kind of like lump the South together.
All right, that's fair.
But, yeah, the face and neck and probably the rest of the body tattoos is kind of very frightening, actually.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you have face tattoos and you're at your children's school and you're breaking into cars, you need to have a better alibi because you have face tattoos.
It did say that it's unclear whether she'll be questioned about her terrorist intel in court.
I don't think she has any terrorist intel. I just think that she's a drug addict. People who get face tattoos typically are not drug addicts.
Lady, what you doing over there? Oh, I'm looking for the ISIS people.
I'm looking for the ISIS. I mean,
it's not ISIS. It's the ISIS.
Yeah, in the South, it would definitely be the ISIS. This lady makes me kind of sad. Like, her life is obviously just garbage. Prison will probably be better than her regular life. Like, sometimes, at least over the last year of us doing this show, there have been times where I just genuinely feel like this person will be better off in jail, and she definitely fits in that category. Her life will be better in prison than it ever will be outside of prison.
You know what's sad, though, is this woman is a mother.
No, that's, I mean, no. In Alabama, that's par for the course, I feel like.
Well, Fair enough. But you have to feel really bad for her children.
I do.
Her child.
I feel terrible for her children and or child. But most likely children. Like, I mean, that's... The South is not great. Like, there are lots of parts that are, like, filthy, disgustingly poor. And it's kind of sad, but... God, it's what makes this show go, so it's hard for me to get sentimental about it, because it makes me laugh!
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
I think we should just rename the show Schadenfreude.
No, because I don't want the Germans to get the wrong idea.
We'll get more listeners in Germany, then.
I don't want them to think that we take kindly to their type.
Hey now, I am part German.
I didn't know this previously. Ladies and gentlemen, the news shoe will be canceled. No, just kidding. I'd never do that over something so stupid.
I don't know, I mean...
Hey, you know what? I'm Irish and Norwegian, so I don't think that our countries have ever fought, so I'm not worried about it.
I think the Germans pretty much fought everybody.
Nah, Norwegians don't really fight. They're pretty sedated. And the Irish, sure, you never hear about the Irish in World War II. I don't think anything happened with Ireland. I think they sent some troops, but I don't think anything happened.
Were the Irish just, like, blacked out for the entirety of World War II?
I mean, maybe. Kind of like Sweden. Actually, all up there. Finland, Sweden, Norway. They were all kind of like, meh, you guys do your thing. We'll be up here.
You see, my ancestors were all over Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am...
Oh, you're one of those. You're a mudblood.
Yes. I'm a quarter Hungarian. I'm a quarter Italian. I'm Scottish. I'm Irish. I'm English. I'm German. And I also believe that I am part Russian as well.
Ben... All this means is that your relatives were total whores.
Yeah.
Your relatives were going over borders and just fucking everything.
Pretty much. The Russian part is not confirmed, but when I was in high school, I was looking up things from my mom's grandma's side, and they were from Hungary, but their last name has also Russian origin, too, so, I mean, I don't know. But if I was that, I'd be like, man, my ancestors were all over Europe.
What side of the family does your last name come from?
Well, my dad's.
Well, so what is your dad primarily? I'm curious about the origin of Orr.
Well, it's from my grandpa who, I think it's mainly Scottish. My dad is half Italian from his mother's side, and I believe, I don't really know what my dad's dad is. I'm assuming German and Scottish.
Well, all right. Now that we've dove into your plethora, if it makes you feel better, Ben, at some point one of my relatives got it on with some Danish, because my last name is actually of Danish origin. So I'm Irish, Norwegian, and then there's some Danish that somehow snuck in there at the last minute. So, if it makes you feel better, my family also had treacherous whores.
Well, I guess. I mean, I don't really... It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I think it's cool.
It should matter to you. Your relatives were sluts. It matters.
Hey, man, I got all these things in my blood now.
Yeah. Syphilis. 18th century gonorrhea.
I don't think that goes down the bloodline with when you have kids.
I beg to differ.
Well, it might be
18th
like...
18th century gonorrhea is history's greatest monster.
That next to Ebola, right?
No, Ebola's working on it, though. It wants to be America's greatest monster. I think that this lady who's looking for ISIS wants to be America's next greatest monster. Look at her face!
She looks like she would eat somebody.
I think that she has considered eating a human being in her life. I feel like there has at least been one moment... Yeah, she scares me. I don't like her. She's not like that other lady, that weird old lady. But I'm
at least that old lady didn't have like tattoos crawling up all her neck and face. I mean, she just had Satan inside of her. I mean, big deal. I mean, we can get over that pretty quickly, right? Or is that not something that just happens overnight? I don't know.
Good
either
question.
Way.
Either way.
This Lisa Carol Roche, whatever the fuck her name is, very scary lady. I would not want to be caught in a dark alley with her because she might eat my face.
She will eat your face. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And she will eat your face.
Of course, how could I be so negligent and not thinking
How could
that?
you be so naive, Ben? Speaking of being naive, let's bring it home, Ben.
Let's do just that.
Our final story this week is... Now, I said naive, and I'm going to go with that, and I think that you'll agree with me after you hear the story, and we talk about sort of the logic behind this decision-making. I believe that the landlords of Taiwan are being a little preposterous. The elderly population in Taiwan are having a hard time finding places to rent and live because landlords don't want their buildings to be haunted when the elderly people die in the unit. So they're literally just saying, if you're over a certain age, we won't rent to you because we don't want ghosts. Ben, I understand superstition. I understand the quest to know more about the paranormal, but I can assure you that this is some naive bullshit. This is some, like, middle school nonsense that's happening here.
In an entire country, no less.
Yeah, that's... Really?
So what this has led to is a man named Mr. Mucci, who has lived in his van.
Mr. Mucci.
He lived in his van for 5 years because he's been trying, or no, since last October, my bad. He's been trying to find a place to live for the past 5 years and hasn't been able to because he's older and they're like, well, he's going to die or his ghost is going to haunt us. Okay, first of all, when I was in high school, I actually watched a lot of these shows with my dad about those those ghost hunters. I always thought they were bullshit things.
I think that the science but, of what they are doing is valid. I just question the results that they present on those shows, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I appreciate the science that is involved. However, I do believe that they need the show to be interesting, so they have to forge some things.
But that said, though, if you know anything at all about how these quote-unquote ghosts are supposed to, like, work and do things... Unless the person is angry and has a resentment towards something, they're not going to be here as a ghost haunting you. It's only from what I've read, people who were angry, held a grudge, were bitter about something, are the ones that do that. Even then, it's not specified they're going to be just in that place. They could be anywhere that they spent their lifetime. Maybe they lived in a house for 40 years and then they lost their house and then had to move somewhere else. It does not mean that that ghost is going to haunt your apartment complex.
Yeah, I think to tell people that they can't live at your complex because they may or may not reappear later as a spectral vision is just the stupidest shit I've ever heard. That's so fucking dumb, I can't even believe it. Like, how do you even write up the paperwork that explains that? What if they add a clause that says that you won't die in the unit?
What happens if you do? What are they going to do then? They can't throw you in jail.
No, then they'll sue you. They'll sue your dead body.
They'll probably sue your family.
They'll take
then,
you to
I
ghost
imagine.
Court.
Well, even then, okay. Lou, say that happens. Say an old person dies in one of these Taiwanese apartments. But what are you going to do then? Say the person has no family. You can't sue anybody.
You sue their
estate. You can't
estate.
Take anybody to court.
Because if they die, they have possession, so you sue the estate. That's not a joke. That's actually how that would go. You'd sue the estate.
Interesting.
Indeed. So I'm just saying, you just get the ghost clause. You just agree to not die in the unit. And as long as you, like, die in the hallway, you're good to go. Because I don't think they'll mind the ghost haunting the hallway. They just don't want them in the individual units, you see. You know, because ghosts.
I mean, if there is a problem with old people dying in Taiwan, or there's just a problem with old people not finding residency in Taiwan, build fucking retirement homes.
Well,
I mean, I don't think it's that hard.
I don't know that people in Taiwan, like, retire. I don't know that people in those other countries necessarily retire ever. So, I mean, I don't know that that's a reality for them. So, like, I guess what's interesting is that, again, how can you, like as a business owner. So Ben, let's look at this from a fiscal standpoint. You own a rental complex. You need tenants in the unit. You are hurting your own business by refusing someone the opportunity to give you money because you're afraid that they might come back as a ghost?
And here's the thing. What if somebody who was like 45 years old suffers a heart attack and dies in their apartment?
Right. You know what? That same 45-year-old could run room to room shooting every person and haunting the place forever.
And what about all the people that would die from the shooting? Death is not specific just to people who are older. Death is specific to anybody at all. So, I mean, if I was in a senior citizen inside of Taiwan that wanted to get an apartment but I was refused it, I would take it to court as an anti-discrimination.
In closing, because, Taiwan, don't be stupid. You're being ridiculous. Grow up.
I mean, it's astounding to me that they think that death is limited to older people. I could die tomorrow, and I'm only 21. I'm not 85. I mean, you can't say that, hey, what if an 85-year-old lives another 20 years? So it's stupid. It's just so stupid, and I'm just baffled that an entire country does this, that nobody in this country has stood up and said, hey, you know what? I don't think this is that good of an idea.
I feel bad for all of the kids of the old people, because now, like, they have no choice. The parents have to come live with them. Ugh. Yuck. Just what your house needed. Your Asian wife nagging at you, and now your Asian mother-in-law nagging at you.
Or what about, like, a situation where, say, a grandchild has to live with their grandparents because the parents are out of the picture, but the grandparents can't find anywhere to stay because they're being refused from apartments? Then what?
Who knows, man? It's a tough world, you know? There are enough real things to worry about that it is kind of depressing that we worry about fake stuff so much.
Get this shit together, Taiwan.
Come on, Taiwan. Get it together. Your food is delicious, but you obviously are not playing with a full deck of cards.
The social policies apparently are awful.
What are?
The social policies, apparently.
If you're
discriminating against older people,
Don's mom is a social policy.
Are you attacking Don through the show?
Yeah.
When he's not even on the show to defend himself?
Yep.
That's low. That is low.
He'll understand. It was actually a Don's mom joke, which are actually quite prevalent in our universe.
Don's mom or the jokes?
Both. Combine them. Don's mom jokes. For you see, the humor is in that Don's mom is like the nicest lady who's ever lived. And so by rendering her a filthy, disgusting whore, the jokes become much more clever.
I am sorry, Don's mom, if you listen to this show.
Nah, she won't. Well, maybe someday. Not right now. We're not big enough. She's too classy of a lady.
Today is not that day.
No, but someday.
So, I am sorry, Mr. Moochie, that you cannot find a place to live.
Sorry, Mr. Moochie, but you know what I'm not sorry about? Delicious porcupine cookies, Ben.
You can't be.
How could you be? They're gluten-free, wheat-free, soy-free, flour-less, as I learned last week. I mean, they're the best. Find them on Facebook, Porcupine Cookies, or email them at porcupinecookies@gmail.com to place your order today.
And when you get some delicious porcupine cookies, let us know. I mean,
yeah, tell us. Let us know that you like them. I'm sure they'd like the feedback. We'll be sure to talk about them on the show. Ours are coming, Ben. Olga has assured me that ours are en route. So they will be here soon enough, and we can enjoy the porcupine cookies ourselves.
I'm looking forward to it.
As am I. So, well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed this jam-packed show. Like we said, we will be doing a Chewing Dead at some point this week because the episode has not aired yet, and then that will go up on Friday. And then next week we will be airing, at the very least, part one of our anniversary special, I think. Right, Ben? We should at least have three by then.
I would think so.
So you guys don't know what that means when I say the number three, but you'll find out soon enough. Ben, why don't you let everybody know where they can find us?
All right, you can find us on Facebook, The News Chew with Ben and Lou. You can follow us on Twitter at The News Chew. You can email us, newstruthbenandlou@gmail.com. Follow us on Google Plus as well. Same thing. So, once again, you can also find our sponsor, Porcupine Cookies, on Facebook. Be sure to check them out. So, Lou, do you have any closing words before we end this week?
I try to leave this sort of stuff out of the show, but this week in particular, I would like to say, go Pack, go.